Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So one of the projects at the Wilson household recently has been cleaning our garage. What is the condition of your garage? Spotless. Well, we've been living in our house now for over 3 years. There were boxes in our garage that hadn't been unpacked in that time. There were things that just kind of come home with us from either church or from Vicky's work, and we think it's a great thing to bring them home, but there they sit. So it got so bad that really we had little paths going from this place to that place in our garage. And you know, we have chickens. And the bedding, the pine bedding that we use for the chickens creates this awful dust everywhere. I mean, must have been, what, 2, 3, 4 inches of dust on everything? It was terrible. So we had a gathering of some friends on Friday night, and we wanted to use the garage as a kind of a gathering place. Well, 2 weeks ago, if you would have looked at our garage, you would have said, that's never going to happen. It's nasty. I mean, it really is nasty. So Vicky and I worked hard. I swept must have been 3, 4, 5 times, and still it was amazing, you know, when I would go over it again, how much more dirt there was. It's like, but I already swept this. Vicky even went over it with a wet Swiffer. It's clean now. So the thing is, when some of our friends, when they gathered at our house on Friday night, I was giddy with excitement because I wanted to show what this garage looked like now, especially to people who had been there and witnessed the mess. I'll just be kind. So a couple of people I would actually grab by the hand and say, come and see! And then we would kind of get on over to the garage. I would open the door. And I don't know if anybody else heard the angel singing that I heard when I opened the door, but the angels were singing. And there was that, oh, wow. And if you ever worked really hard on something like your garage and somebody says, oh, wow, that's really all you need. It's like, man, it's worth it now. But it was so exciting to share that with someone. But it would have been a very different experience had I said, hey, I'm so excited, I want to show you something. And they said, nah. I want to sit here in my chair. I don't want to go out to the garage. I've seen your garage before. It's nasty. You see, it's my excitement, my desire to share was the same in both stories. But a person could have gone either way. Yes, I want to go see. Or no, I don't. It's amazing that invitation is important. This morning we heard about John the Baptist. John the Baptist saw Jesus and he said, this one here, this is the Son of God. This one here, this is the Messiah. This is the one that we've been talking about, you know, for a long, long time. I know who he is, and I need to share that with you. So you know that there's disciples, and we usually think disciples are people who follow Jesus, but disciples are really people who follow any particular leader, right? So John the Baptist had disciples with him, people who were following him, who knew his message. And so when John the Baptist says, this is the one who I've been preparing for. This is the one that I've been laboring for. This is the one that I'm not worthy to tie or untie his sandals. This is the one I'm baptizing with water, but this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. This is the one. You see, John the Baptist directed these folks, so now they were going to be following Jesus. And so they asked him a very basic and practical question. They said, "Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying?" I mean, frankly, that wouldn't be my first question. I mean, if somebody's saying, "This is the Messiah," hey, where are you staying? No, I would say, "You hungry?" And then I would start asking important questions about salvation and life and all that stuff. Got to take care of the food. So they ask, "Where are you staying?" And of course, Jesus doesn't give a clean, clear answer. He doesn't say, "You know, I'm staying with that guy Ned just up on the hill, you know, then two doors down." He doesn't say something like that. He doesn't say, "I'm staying at the Motel 6. He doesn't say, "I'm staying at the Days Inn," or "I'm staying with Lucille and Alfredo." He doesn't say that. He says, "Come and see." Why on earth is the answer, "Come and see"? And of course, this is an invitation, right? Just like I was inviting people to my garage, Jesus is inviting people to come and see where he's staying. The people who are listening could have said, "You know, I don't want to go." The people who are listening could have said, "Well, you know, I don't know where this is. It could be, you know, just a block or two down the road, but it also could be a couple of miles. And, you know, my feet hurt. It's not comfortable for me to get up and follow Jesus just when he says, 'Come and see.'" Not need more information here, Jesus. But the thing is, the next verse of the scripture says, they came and they saw. It's a very short piece of scripture. Many of us probably don't pay much attention. Even as I read the scripture a little bit ago, even if you were to sit and read it in front of you, you probably don't say, "Wow, that's an important piece of scripture." You don't see anybody doing needlepoint with that scripture. They came and they saw. You don't see any of the beautiful artwork done with "they came and they saw." You don't see that. But that small verse gave their yes, didn't it? They answered, "Yes, yes, I will come and see. I don't know what the journey is going to be like, but I will go, I will follow you. I will go and I will see." It's pretty amazing. Anytime anyone hears the call of God and follows. The hymn that we'll sing right after the sermon, "Here I Am, Lord." One of the most beautiful hymns that I think, and I had this at my ordination. "Here I am. I'm open to you, Lord. Call me. Send me." But as we think about that simple invitation, "Come and see," there's an understood subject in there, isn't there? The understood subject is you. You come and see. Now, you know, 2 weeks ago or so, we had Epiphany Sunday. And you recall what we renamed that Sunday. Thank you, Frank. All Y'all Sunday, because we're in recognition that God's love, God's call is for all y'all, which means all people everywhere, no matter what, right? That's important. It is such an important message for us to hear, but the message today is also very, very important. Yes, God's love and God's grace is for all y'all. But here today, we hear, "Jane, come and see." You see how much more personal that is? "Shirley, come and see." That personal invitation from Jesus to get a little closer. See with your own eyes. You see, there are invitations all around us all the time from Jesus. Sometimes people think that the invitation only comes at one point in your life, and maybe if you miss that invitation, well, okay, you missed the boat. But I submit to you that Jesus' love comes to us, and opportunities to follow Jesus comes to us multiple times every day. Do we hear those invitations? And when we hear those invitations, do we say yes? Or do we say no? You see, part of our Christian witness, part of our Christian life, evangelism, discipleship, part of that is sharing. Because John the Baptist saw Jesus for who he is, and then he shared with those who were around. The disciples who started to follow Jesus, they saw Jesus for who he is, which is the message of Epiphany, and they shared that message. So now it's for us to share that message. And the thing is, sometimes we don't always feel confident with the message that we see. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to share? Maybe we feel that we haven't gotten close enough to Jesus to see or to hear or to feel. Because frankly, it's not always clear what that call is. If someone were to say, Sandy, your call is to give the children's sermon. Okay, that's easy. You can understand. That's a very clear call. The path is understandable. But sometimes our call and our ability to see and sense it is frankly kind of like my drive in on 28 this morning. You know, there's that construction there. Have you seen the lines that are supposed to mark out the drive path, your lane? I don't know who did those lines, but we got to have a conversation, because this morning the road surface was wet. It was shiny. The way the sun was coming, I couldn't see anything. And some of the places where there had been those little white stripes, well, they painted over them with something, but I still couldn't tell, because it looked like, honest to goodness, looked like those lanes were doing all this. And I didn't know where it was safe for me to drive. Now, I could have stopped my car and gotten out. I said, where is this drive path? That wouldn't be safe. I could have done that. But instead, you know what I did? I said, this looks like where I'm supposed to go, so I'm going to kind of head there. And tried to make sure I was in some kind of a lane and didn't hit anybody. But you know, sometimes it's very hard for us to discern. So what do? We use our other senses. As you've talked with people, I'm sure, who have maybe been deaf or blind, they use their other senses to be able to be more aware of their surroundings, right? So when we can't always see the path that Jesus is calling us to, we use our other senses. We pray. We listen for the movement, and we feel the movement of the Holy Spirit. That's how we get to know our way. And since tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I was thinking a lot about him. How did he always know what his call was? Because his call to seek out justice, to raise the public temperature on the conversation regarding race, what he did, though, his decisions endangered not only his life, but the life of his family. How do you do that? But Martin Luther King said, God has allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. What I hear in that is Jesus' invitation to Martin, come and see. So Martin moved closer. He came closer so that he could see. And then he shared that with the world. The thing is, not all of us are called to prophetic speech in the same way that he was. Not all of us are called to touch millions of people, millions of lives. Our call is not always like that, but you know, sometimes our call is little. Sometimes it's very large. But Jesus calls us to come closer, to come and to see, and then to go and to share. That is our call, because Jesus saw the way and he shared. The disciples saw the way and they shared. Martin Luther King Jr. saw the way and he shared. Now it's our turn. In our own way, using our own gifts, God isn't calling us to be other than we are, but God is calling us because specifically who we are, what gifts we have. God has called us to use those, to come closer to Him so that we can see, and then to share, not just with one person, not just with a couple people here and there, or these people and not these people. He's called us to share with all y'all. In the name of Jesus, amen.